Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I hope that song is a personal testimony to you. Amen. By the mercies of my Lord. Amen. Just thank you for the mercies wasn't granted unto you, Brother John. You know, the Bible said we're written epistles, read known of all men. Without the mercies of God, could you imagine what that epistle would read like? Sad thought, isn't it? Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Y'all love the Lord this morning? We're going to deal with a few things maybe right off the beginning of the service. I'm going to probably get Gabe up in a minute to kind of share. He's been doing ministry there on the base and Fort Benning. Him and his wife been helping a lot of people. And, you know, I'm thankful to hear those kind of reports. You know, these young men, I talked with Brother Gabe's first chaplain, Captain Mark, wasn't it? Yeah, and seemed like a really decent man. Tore up with the things the military was leaning on him and pressing him and tying his hands, I could say, to really minister the word. And his expression to me said, it'll be a cold day in hell before I marry two men. And he was in a place of quitting the Army. And, you know, he said, man, I got many years invested here. But it wasn't so much his career that he was concerned with or his investment, his time, and his retirement. It was the fact is, he said, these young men are taken away. He said, some of these men that come, he said, they've never been away from home, and now they're taken away from their families. They're out here, man, with a man in their face drilling them. And he said, they break. And he said, man, you need to be there to pick them up. That's a ministry. Some of them will go to alcohol. Some will go to drugs, trying to quench this tormenting things that are taking place in their lives and their thoughts, just being naturally ripped away. But God, by his mercy and his grace, amen, lets people be there to help. We're always looking for them opportunities, brethren. Many times people think ministry is being up before the multitudes or the thousands and putting your name up in the light stand. But brethren, we are all in a ministry every single day. We need to be available to people. It might be just a brief moment of ministry. It could be to the cashier at Walmart while you're checking out, and you perceive, you know, not through psychology, but you perceive through the discernment of spirit, you know, and sometimes just a kind word. Amen. A kind word. It could be a ministry to send a text to somebody and say, I was thinking about you and I love you. God loves you. Amen. God's with you. He's going to help you. And that word of inspiration could open up something within them to bring inspiration and hope in Christ. Amen. And we so oftentimes we forget the importance of our role in God's kingdom, brethren. We forget how much we're needed. This morning we got men tuned in this morning via FM radio there at Washington. These men are ministers. Oh, they got problems, brethren. They've given place to spirits. They're doing this and that, dealing with anger and tempers and masculinity and predominance, preeminence, you know, everything that could be given to man. But you know what? We look beyond the stumblings and those things and say, you know what? I see hope. I see Christ. I see somebody that could speak a word to another man and encourage him. Amen. And it's happening. These men are winning souls, taking people by the hand. Amen. And bringing them out. Brother Durrell, right up here in the front row, and Brother Van, both of them were involved in racism. This man here represented the black race, man, with a hate. I mean a hate for crackers like you, Brother John, white people. Hated them with all, just despised the look at white people. And the thing is the white brother hated the black man, Brother Van. Two of them were considered leaders in these gangs. You know, some of them were bearing the tattoos and the marks and different things. But here these two men come together. Could you imagine them gang members looking and saying, look at this white man and this black man unifying together in love and sharing the gospel with people and helping people. You see, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, shame on the Pentecostals. They want to make the power into some little dance in church or where. But the power of the Holy Ghost is when it moves in a man's heart, brethren. It moves in and changes him. Amen. Changes his ideology, his hate towards another people. Amen. And it makes them reach out in love. Amen. And now we could see God in the earth. You see, you want to read an epistle of the Lord? That's when you see racism melt away and you see the love of God. That's when you see bitterness and hate, amen, removed and things. And you see people walking in unity, in one mind, in one accord. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's give him a hand this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mercy, mercy, mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Mercy rewrote Brother Durrell's life when he went and found himself embracing a man of another color. That's mercy. Amen. You know, and people could seem to have a sense of justification. Well, the white man, you know, they were bad men. They kept us under bondage. They enslaved us and they beat us and done all those things. Doesn't justify hate. So that's what every color man done to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen. So there's nothing ever to justify your bitterness. Nothing will ever justify your hate. You could be done so wrongly and so terribly. I can't think of any more of a terrible act that happened to any man ever than what happened to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The things that happened to him on the cross of Calvary were the grossest violation that ever took place in recorded history. Amen. But then yet he looked at him and said, Father, forgive them. Amen. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you got these problems coming your way and complications and being hated and ridiculed and despised, you're being smitten, crucified, murdered. Amen. You just say, man, thank you, Jesus. You found me worthy to keep a smile on my face and love them that so wrongly, that hate me with no reason. And I could love them. And see, that's what wins souls into the kingdom. You know, we say, Lord, I want to win souls. And you think winning souls is getting behind a sacred desk and preaching. That's the smallest part of it, brethren. Those men need somebody to show them the way. See, Apostle Paul was reading the other night. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. Amen. In two or three places, he said, follow me. We knew who he was following. He was following Christ. The other place said, follow me. He said, follow Christ. But he knew who he was, where he was, and what he was doing. He said, follow me. I'm going to go into a couple scripture references this morning and expound just for a minute in the format of teaching, hopefully. You know, I can preach, and I like to preach. Amen. And just for a few minutes, and you say, well, I thought you was going to get Gabe up here. Well, I'm going to kick it off, and then I'm going to let him, I'm going to hand the baton over, possibly, and we'll see if he can get it across the finish line.
Amen.
You say, I think that's out of order. Well, then you go start you a church, that's and you right. Do it the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. I follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. And I do what he wants me to do. Amen. I think of Pastor Beachy and myself down there when they were still on my little Bethlehem, and man, I preached, man, and I was wore out. I mean, the virtue of God was coming out of me so powerful, man, I didn't feel like I had the strength to stand. When you're under that anointing, you don't notice it, but boy, I stopped for, man, about a second, I handed him that baton, and he looked like a wild Indian, man. This guy took off, and I said, well, praise God. And I sat back and leaned, I said, I'm liking this, amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with tag team preaching, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been in meetings and many years ago, back in the 80s. They'd start out with a minister over at about sunset or whatever on an old Brush Arbor meeting out in the, under the sky. And things, and man, he would preach and be wet and ringing wet and man preaching. And then all of a sudden another one come up and then another one come up and then another one come up. And I mean, beautiful things taking place. And they say that Brother William Branham made a statement one time. He said, I'm going to preach and drive them nails in. I'm going to flip the board over and bend them over. Amen. And it might be the other brother get to bend them over. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, saints of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, keep in prayer the ones traveling and different things this morning and trust that the Lord will be with them, keep them safe and help them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the word of God. Father, we are so needed of your word, Lord God. And without your word, we're nothing. Without your word, we know nothing. Father, not looking for some intellectual concept of the letter of the law, Lord God, but looking for the inspiration by the Holy Ghost, Lord God, to speak to the heart of men this morning. Father, help us. Let us yield. Let us hear. Let us listen. Father, don't let us teach or anything, Lord God, that could be warming, Father, but let us bring forth what is needed for the moment, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If I was going to do righteous to some of the things that the Lord's put in my spirit this morning, we would have a minimum of a 3-hour service. But I'm going to say some things, and maybe, you know, sometimes the Lord, which, you know, if you go back to the service we had here Friday night, dealing with some things, and Wednesday night, unveiling some things that needed unveiled. things need to be sometimes unveiled. Amen. I want to go to Deuteronomy this morning, the 13th chapter. I'm going to have to get some private time with my grandson, Gabriel, and his little daughter, a little charismatic. And you see that this morning? It looked like she'd be a little apostolic. Boy, she's going to run around the church this morning while we're worshiping the Lord. She probably got that from her mother, right, Brother Gabe? She got it from her mama? Yeah, I thought so. And Sister Kay just smiles, you know. Could you explain to me what a charismatic spirit is? No. Amen. It's wonderful to have them here. And Brother Morrison, Sister Grace, what a wonderful pleasure. Family of God. And I am so thankful for them. Wonderful brother and sister. I wished I had things in my heart and spirit of the things that they have witnessed and seen of the mighty move of God over their years of life of submission, gratitude towards God, and endurance. Amen. If I called Sister Grace up here to testify about her Lord and her God and the things that she's witnessed and seen over her lifetime of servitude towards God, the books couldn't contain it. You say, oh, come on, Brother Ron. I'm going to tell you, if you could just unveil. You know, Brother Pike, you say you take one son of God, it's unveiled. He said, outshine the noonday sun, brethren. And people have problems receiving those kind of things. They think, oh, it's just some flattery statement or so. But brethren, we got to know what Christ has done for us. Amen. Made us heirs. Amen. You know, we got this royal family over there in England, and people look over there with such admiration towards them and esteem them to be this great royalty, you know. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. Those people ain't seen nothing the way the sons of God are going to be met and are met. You know, we got to know who we are. Amen, in Christ. Brethren, we are the sons of God. This morning, when I'm going to read out of Deuteronomy some here, but let me say some things here. Many times when we think of gods, we get an error right immediately. An error. You know, when we say gods. You know, if we think about false gods, or we think about idols of worship and things, and even gods, and the Bible said that, you know, they would take these things and make gods. You know, even with feathers and different things, we could think of the golden calf, and they made it a god. So when we start thinking about, you know, having no other gods before them and different things and such, so many times we get off into error. You know, you think, well, you know, some people, you know, got a god named Buddha. So you think that the only way you're going to be worshiping another god is you're going to come in, oh, Buddha. And you're going to go up and rub his belly and light a couple candles to make you serving another god. You know, you've heard me teach on the abomination of desolation. You know, we can get into what theologians teach, and I agree with what theologians teach. And I'm not going to go into depths on that this morning, but I'm using it as a touch for a thought, because you've been indoctrinated. But you know, people think of the Antichrist coming on the scene over in a Mideastern country. Many of the theologians have come to believe it's going to come out of Syria. You know, and they see this abomination of desolation of this Antichrist coming here, making himself to be God. That's okay. I'm all for that. But when they hear me teach on it, then they think I'm in error. See, I could teach on it the same way they do. And it's right and it's accurate. But I teach on it to bring it into a present day truth or revelation. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, ye are gods, but thy like men. Well, we go over in the Old Testament because of a lack of knowledge. Thy like men. So it's my obligation to bring you to knowledge. But then yet knowledge puffeth up. So I'm going to bring you into knowledge. Some puff you up. I'm going to make you get haughty and make you crash and fall. No, I'm not trying to bring that knowledge. I'm trying to bring you into the knowledge of the Spirit. When we go to the gifts, there's a gift of knowledge, a gift of wisdom. And we need to understand that knowledge. I made a kind of a statement by the Holy Ghost a few years back. And I said, knowledge puffeth up, but the knowledge of God catcheth up. You see, and most people can't tell the difference. Because you can catch yourself up in your own intellect. You can catch yourself up in your own wisdom and understanding. And boy, you could be caught up in so superior and elevated above everybody, and you feel superior. And that's the catching up, brethren. But that's the catching up that will bring you down and crash you. You understand that? This is why knowledge hurts more people than it helps people. The tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, there's good in it, man. And yeah, when you go to eat from the tree of knowledge, it's going to be good. It's going to be pleasing to your eye. It's going to make you as God. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you walk tall. It's going to make you have big steps. It's going to draw people to you. Amen? But see, if we're not careful, brethren, if we're not cautious, we partook of the wrong tree. Amen? Of the wrong tree. Knowledge is attainable through word, through study, attainable through application, attainable through observation. I gain knowledge. I watch somebody spin around in a car on ice and bang their car up. I just gain knowledge. Hey, the roads are slick. Amen? Better back her down, boy. Amen. We're always attaining knowledge, bringing and bringing and bringing it in. But we got to be careful of the knowledge that we gain. Knowledge makes us accountable, brings us to an accountability. I spoke with a seasoned man of God, been pastoring a church for about 20 years last night for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, way over in the morning hours here. Good fellowship, wonderful fellowship. But you realize a man that has gained much knowledge over the years of pastoring, including myself, and many times we could see something rise up, man, I've seen this before, I've dealt with this before, and then you deal with it the way you don't with the last one. That's knowledge. And it works, but it's not always accurate, nor is it right. You see, we're led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And we put no other gods before Him. So you say, praise God, I'm a son of God. Amen? And I could be put before God, and it'll be something that would destroy you. And you say, but Brother Rob, we've come to revelation and such, and know that, you know, that we're the sons of God, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, you know, but then yet, one that we seem to be a great brother, founder, Brother Pike. And then yet he brings a message out why Brother William Branham went off the scene at a younger age, early, or than maybe he should have. And it's because what the people did. Did he make himself God to the people? Did Moses make himself God to the people? I could ask you that. You see, when you see that a man no longer lives and now it's Christ that lives, and when you see that the man has put himself under subjection to Christ, and he's mortified, killed out himself, his will, his mind, as the Apostle Paul said, all my learning's dung. He made a statement, he said, if you want to boast, he said, I could boast more than any of you. I could boast in my knowledge, a Pharisee of all Pharisees. I was zealous. I was pursuing after the church, taking them into captivity and stuff. He had a reason to boast, brethren. But then he came to a revelation. Amen. He had another God before God. You see, he had made his religion God. He had made his studies God. He'd made his understanding God, his revelations God. And brethren, I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. You see, the route you drove yesterday, you're successful at it. And you drove it the day before and the day before. You know the road well. You know where the corners are at. You know all of the everything about it. But today you could be going on that route from yesterday's thoughts. Black eyes. Nobody likes black eyes because you don't see it. And all of a sudden you come around. But see, if you would have been properly using your automotive or driving skills, you would think, wait a minute, man, all the conditions are favorable for ice. And I'm going to back it down a little bit and slow it down. And there's a crash up from overconfidence and doing things the way we done it yesterday. We're led by the Spirit of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13 here for a moment. It says, if there arise among you a prophet, boy, we esteem the prophets, a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Oh, the Bible says, brother, if it comes to pass, to fear that man. You see, this is why you need a preacher. Amen. Line upon line and precept upon precept. And if the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken. Well, but he prophesied and it come to pass. He spoke things and they came to be. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Who proveth you? Huh? Proveth you. Oh man, how come when the chastening or the proving of the Lord comes to you that you reject it and resent it because you're a snowflake? Well, he offended me. Praise God for that. You need to smile when you get offended. If anybody had the right to be offended, it would have been my Lord and Savior, an innocent man without guile, being found in his mouth, being take like a common thief, and they're screaming out, give us Barabbas. A known murderer, proven murderer. And they say, give us this murdering dog and take this son of God. Take this man right here and crucify him. And he still had no guile in his mouth? Come on, man. I know what you'd have been doing, same thing I would have been. Boy, when they were trying to nail you down, you'd have been kicking and cussing and spitting. Oh, not me, man. I'd have been saying, yeah, Father, forgive them. Well, then why can't you do that when your brother offends you? Why can't you do that when you're down here in town and somebody doesn't recognize you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How come when people don't bow down to worship you, then you get this same thing going? So you're going to tell me why they're driving nails in your hand? You're going to be saying, oh, Father, forgive them? When you're mad at your brother? Angry with him? And you think you got the power to forgive somebody driving nails in your hands? Come on, we play religious games, you know. Spiritualism, boy, you don't look at me, man. Yeah, I'm looking at you. You're going to get knocked off your high horse. Amen? Verse 3 again. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So when this master of deception comes and sweeps you off your feet and you think it's the devil, you need to back up a second and say, wait a minute, maybe my God has proven me. Huh? Oh, but, you know, God wouldn't do that. Then why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? When Moses was going over there, go over there and free my people. Okay, Lord, I'm listening, man. Wow, I never seen this bush on fire without being consumed before. And boy, I heard this voice, and man, I take off my shoes and I'm standing on holy ground. Boy, I've heard from heaven, praise God. He's commissioned me, hallelujah. I'm going over there and I'm going to free the people, praise be to God. And then God goes over and hardens Pharaoh's heart. Who was being proved? What was being proved? Why were they being proved? Brother Tab, man, golden glove and boxing. But then yet, if he's a golden glove in boxing, somebody proved him. Is that true? Somebody proved him. They stuck him out there with this little sissy queer that weighed about 93 pounds, you know, and walked with his wrist all canked up and swung out there. And he got up there and boy, he whooped his hind. Boy, he's the man. Whoa. No, they put somebody out there that probably had 20 pounds on him and about 3 inches of reach on him. And the dude danced like Sugar Ray. Some of you probably don't know who that is. I'm not much into sports. And he was probably like, whoa, look at that guy dance. Amen? Proved you. Is your Lord and your God going to prove you? Is your Lord and is your God going to take and kind of pull your little covering back a little bit for somebody could make a blow at you and knock you on your hind end? And you know the thing that you don't realize about your God? He's going to smile when it happens. I've heard men talk. You know, I said, I think a good old-fashioned hind-end kicking might help that guy a little bit. Anybody ever think like that?
Oh, yeah, but I'm religious. I'd never think like that, man. You know, man, I'm a Christian, you know, and praise God. And I'd never.
Now you're a stinking liar. And all liars are going to hell. I guarantee you, I don't care how much of God you got. My pastor, Brother Pike, was probably a man that showed more Christ-like attributes than any man I've ever met. Showed the more love of God in helping people that you probably wouldn't even spit upon. You wouldn't want to waste your spittle. And he helped them and loved them. But one day he rolled up his sleeves and said, I guess we're going to have to work this out this way. Huh? You say, well, man, don't shame that brother. Hey, that was a powerful man of God. And let me tell you something. If I thought a good old tail end kicking might get a guy into the kingdom, I might start exercising that a little bit. Amen.
Well, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, I know, but you little sissified preachers that think that way don't ever go to when Jesus took a whip. He kicked tables over. You think he was sitting there like, oh, I don't offend nobody. I guarantee you, boy, they were drawled slap up. My Lord and God, he walked among men and he kicked the tables over. He was grieved because they were defiling the temple of God. And he is kicking the table and he ran them out of there and they knew he meant business. You say you're going to justify your arrogance and your masculinity. No, I'm talking about my Lord and God. I know what mine is. It gets me in trouble. It puts me on my face before God, confessing and saying, God, have mercy on me and help me. Let me get my fleshly animosity out of the way. And let it be your righteousness, Lord, that deals with these things, not me. When you deal with things out of hurt, out of pride, well, they insulted me or they didn't recognize me. Arthur Burt preached a message, if you could be offended, you need to be offended until you could be offended no more. And he shared the story about where he was called to preach at this place, and there was thousands or hundreds of people there in a big auditorium, and he's supposed to be the next one up, and they called this other man up to testify, and this guy just went to preaching. And man, the power of God was moving in the Spirit of God, and he got so furious. This is his statement, not Brother Rob's. He said, I could have took a knife and sliced the man's throat and would have thought I was doing God a service. He was so mad that there was another preacher looking at him there, and he went up to him and he tapped on him. He said, brother, can't you see when God's having his way? But see, in his mind, the only way that God would be having the way is with him. He was the move. He was the anointed one. He was the man of that hour. And boy, they didn't recognize that. Boy, isn't that wonderful that God would do that to a man, to humble him down, to shut his stinking, arrogant, overconfident mouth? See, we got to yield to the Lord, brethren. We're talking about other gods for a moment. Do you realize that you could make your ministry God? Oh, but Brother Rob, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Man, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And I no longer live. Hallelujah. I've been crucified. Amen. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God. I said, I wish somebody would slap you. You know what? I believe the word of God. I believe in a testimony of God. I believe in a profession of faith. But when it comes to an arrogancy of you, and that you're better, and that you're more greater than the next person, you have received another God that isn't God. And you're guilty of what we're reading here right now. Verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Can I hear the voice of God through another man? Sure you can. This is where discernment comes in. And be careful, because you may hear the voice of God speaking through a man right now, and a couple minutes later you hear the voice of the devil speaking through the very same man. You say, I don't receive that. Well, go to hell along with the rest of the ones that are deceived. I'm sorry. I mean, the great apostle Peter, he walked on water. Did you? Man, he had God himself say, this was not given to you from man, but it come from the spirit world, come from the heavens, amen? It came to you by the Father. No man revealed this to you. So who was speaking through him? It was God speaking through Peter. Thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. Amen. And upon this revelation, upon this rock, build the church. Amen. Revelation. God speaking through this brother. Being testified of God. That he heard from God. And saw beyond the veil. And then he says, get ye behind me, Satan. So there's your scripture right there that we use ever so oftentimes. And I'm ever so repetitive. But I'm going to keep putting things like that back in your face until you come to the revelation of your overconfident self. And that you're so spiritual and so full of revelation and so full of godliness and so full of everything, including your own self, that you flatter yourself. Come on, man. You think of flattery is always fine, but you flatter yourself. Man, you don't want. Ooh, yeah. Son, you got it down, man. Where's my runners? Come on, Brother Melvin.
Ain't this where the Pentecostals are going to get up and run a little bit? Come on, man. If we're going to have runners in the church, we're going to have trippers too. Brother such and such, he's got a quick foot. Hey, what happened to that guy? You know, I've seen a brother out of church all cool looking, man. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm going to share this. And I'm sorry, brother, and it was a black guy, okay? And man, he's on a treadmill, boy. And if anybody could run on a treadmill, a white dude can't run on a treadmill and look good. He's going to have his tongue hanging out and, you know, like this. But the black guy, boy, he's got it down. He's moving. Man, he's running. Here comes this girl walking by. It's in a gym, co-ed. You know, we don't believe in that. And here's this girl, boy, and if anybody was running cool, it's this guy, and he's checking out this girl. Oh, this is classic, man. I love stuff like this. This was the ordination of God, thus saith the Lord. You know, if God had to orchestrate this thing just to show that thing, and I mean, while he's looking at this girl, he loses his balance and fell flat on his face on this treadmill. And when he hit that thing, it shot him straight back off, and he hit the floor. And you know what he done? See, a white guy would have never thought of this, Brother Melvin. He would have got there and tried to get himself up. This guy hit that floor, boy, and it was all planned. He started doing push-ups. I'm telling you the truth, man. You see, that was a controlled crash, man, and he still looked good. Amen. Projection of flesh. My wife shared a story with me. She was helping another sister. And they had to go by this apartment. This one was down in Georgia. And this guy was the buffed out guy, man. All buffed out, big man and stuff. And they knock on the door. And everything's a move, you know. And he's walking like this. I'm talking about spirits, brethren. We can laugh a little bit or whatever. I'm talking about demon spirits is what we're talking about. And knocked on the door. And the guy, man, he come up like that. And he grabbed the door, man. You don't just grab the door. You got to get a little move out there. And he pulls that thing and it catches his foot. And boy, when it caught his foot, it slammed back. And they sat there and laughed at him. Was you with him, 70? And they sat and laughed at this guy. And boy, it just melted his big ego bubble. Because everything was all about projection. You see, what is that part of you that is projecting itself? If it's spiritual projections, physical projections, it's a devil. And you've taken and made yourself to be God. And you made your God superior than my God, or I should say our God. And you've made him more superior because you're special, that he deals with you specially and favorably, and you're the apple of his eye. I teach that doctrine. But you're in love with yourself. And you're dangerous. And this is what brings the whole world under the deceptive powers of Antichrist. Because it's not Christ. When it's projecting you as a man, you as an individual, you as a teacher, you as a prophet, you as whatever, it's not Christ. The only thing that needs to be projected is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the door. There's no other way to enter in by him. There's no other name given among man except the name Jesus Christ for salvation. That's too simple for you because you got everything. You've got another God. And you've been deceived by another God. There's been some great men that's been on the scene. And when they go off the scene, they made them into God. The Catholic Church done it through generation after generation. They're going to say, well, we're going to make this one a saint. And we're going to use this Saint Christopher, and we're going to use him for travel mercies, and we're going to give you a little coin of his or a little necklace of his, and you're going to pray to this saint. See, they've been doing it for years, and it ain't stopped. You see, is there anything wrong with esteeming a fellow brother in the Lord? Is there anything wrong with honoring one with the gifts of God in their life and full of the Holy Ghost? Not a thing. Give honor to who honor's due. But see, then is where the deceptive powers come in. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, and shall show great signs and wonders, and is as much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You say, well, praise God, I'm the elect of God. You ain't made your call and election sure because you've been deceived. Now let me tell you something, for I could clarify something here. You may, brother, be deceived. And you say, no, the Bible says right there that it's impossible to deceive God's very elect. Okay, well, let me say this in the same breath I said that in. I'm born of God and I cannot sin. And you say, okay, but wait a minute. You know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, amen. So now we're going to talk about the man part. The man part is born and shapen in iniquity and is sin. Amen? He's supposed to be crucified and no longer live, and now it's supposed to be Christ living. Okay, in the deception realm, you as a man can be deceived. And that's not going to put your eternal destiny into hell. But if you're deceived in the spiritual dimension and realm, then you are provision and property of the Antichrist. And that deception will take you into damnation. So we rendered a veil right there, didn't we? So, you know, we got this doctrine, you know, I'm born of God, I cannot sin. Hallelujah. Give me another beer. Well, I'll tell you what, these other people can't drink beer because they're weak, man. They're just a bunch, but man, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. When you got a minister, now he's going to tell you that he's a child of God and got this great anointing and these great powers and absolutely uses filthy, vulgar language and feels justified in it. I've sat with them where they tell you that God has blessed them in such a mighty way, in such a great way, that to them, things are pure that are not pure. That they've got this right because they are these great sons of God, that they can go and have a woman and God just bless them so much and that was the desire of their heart. And he said, give them the desire of their heart. And he will. He'll give them all kinds of whores. And boy, they'll praise him and everything and they're going to walk in the deceit of their own God, of them being God. And they are going to take you to hell with them and themselves to hell and they think they're doing God a service. Do you think every false prophet and every minister of Satan knows that they're a minister of Satan? They're so deceived, they think they're doing God a service. They said they will put you to death in the end time. You know, the carnal part of that kind of thought or scripture is this. Is people think that they're going to literally take people, and you know, we're going to see in this end time, and it will be that way to fulfill all dimensions, and they'll shoot you in the head. It's happening now. They're taking Christians in other countries and they're taking bandanas or machetes or whatever and they're killing them, putting them to death. Yes, that's right. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. They're being slaughtered on a daily basis, the sons of God. Being crucified all the day long. The blood of the Lord Jesus is being trampled under the feet every day. Brethren, when we crucify, you understand that? Jesus said he was crucified in the house of his friends. Brethren, it happens every day. You got to understand that people will put you to death. Because if they could put you to death and say, well, I'm not in agreement with him and I don't believe like him and I've got my own thing and you watch every one of them that does that. They're going to go right off into the world. They're going to look like the world. They're going to talk like the world. They're going to walk like the world because they've got another God, the God of this world. And the God of this world is very religious. The God of this world is very deceptive. The God of this world's got the whole world following after him. He's the God of this world, the prince and the power of this air. Amen? And he's the master of deception. Don't you think that he's going to deceive? If he's going to deceive the whole world, how's he going to do it? Through the organized religion. That's his biggest platform. It's through their airways and through their satellites and through those things. Amen? Brethren, when you come to Christ and his mercy and you don't mortify and kill out your will and your desire and your wishes and your wants, then you're Antichrist. You say, I can't receive that. Well, I wish you could. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders. But there were false prophets also, 2 Peter 2:1. And there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately... It's a very important part right there. Privately. Privately. Brethren, I tell ministers when they come to this church, you want to get somebody outside this church? Hey, brother. Brother Andy. Hey. Man, I got a word from God for you. You know why I act like that when I do that? Because that's what their spirit is doing. Man, I'm a man of God. I got a word from heaven for you. Brethren, it needs to be subject unto the prophets. And I tell him, I said, brother, if you got a word for anybody in this church, do it like the Bible says. Not privately,
not go to them, not get them on the phone. Well, don't say nothing to Brother Rob. Oh, he's just too shallow. He's just too small. When these brethren out here that think they're so superior in revelation get you on the job and say, well, you know, Brother Rob's all right, man. He's doing a good work, man. He loves the Lord with all his heart. But I got this revelation. I got this revelation. That man is of the devil. Every single time, he's full of the devil. You ain't going to smite a man of God to make you something ever. It never works that way. I'm telling you, I deal with ministers that are in false doctrine and error. And you can't smite them. And you say, but Brother Rob, I've heard you speak against Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen and this. The Bible said, number them that walk disorderly. Yes. And we got to number them and expose that. But I'm not in that man's church. If you're tuned in by the way of the internet and watching live stream or on these radios or whatever, however you are, I got the right to preach the gospel and expose these things. But if I go into a Baptist preacher's church and I'm traveling and he said, I'd like for you to speak today, and I go in there and smite that man, God will burn my fields. Oh, but Brother Rob, he's an heir. He's a false prophet. No, he's a pastor, and he's leading people out of darkness. I ministered this message the other day about fathering in the gospel. And I use Brother Durrell as an example. Baptist preacher comes to him with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that he shed his blood for him. Praise God. He heard the word of God. That was the Bible. That's the word of God. And he heard, he said, you know, I need that blood application in my life. I need to be washed in the blood. Amen. It got him out of the gangs. A Baptist. Got him out of the gangs. Got him out of racism. Praise God for that Baptist preacher. Amen. Praise be to the Lord. So let's smite him because, man, he doesn't have this revelation that I got. You don't mess with him. He's helping people. Getting people off alcohol. Getting people off dope. Getting people out of gang violence. Getting people out of guns and murdering. Man, praise God for that preacher. Praise the Lord for him. Amen. But then yet, as time goes on, as we brought this out the other night, does he discount the blood application because it came through a man when he comes to a greater revelation? He comes to a revelation about Jesus' name. Come on. The proper formulations of baptisms. He comes on over to think that God is in the earth moving in the affairs of the people in the same way that he done through the Old Testament, in the same way he done through the New Testament, and he's the same to every generation, and he's not teaching that you're a sinner and you sin every day, and not teaching that nobody's perfect. So he came out of that doctrine. So does he smite the man? Absolutely not. He just came to an accountability now. So he's got to do something. He moves on. He moves on. The context of the message was the one who protested against the Catholic Church, beginning the father of the Protestant move. We could say Martin Luther, Brother Martin Luther. Well, man, he was a great man. We esteem him as one of the church ages, or one of the messengers for this move of God in that time in the 1500s. And we esteem him as that. So let's go get in the doctrine he was teaching, three-person God. Well, he was a father in the gospel, Brother Rob. You can't tell me that he was teaching something wrong. I surely can. I surely can. Brother, there was men in the prisons that sat under some of these so-called men with these great revelations. Oh, Andy, man, oh, you see that spirit right there? They're playing games, man, spiritualism. Brother, do you ever see Jesus do that? Yeah, he spoke to spirits. He perceived their spirits. And he spoke by the perception of the Holy Ghost. But to get into this infatuation and this thing and make me spiritual. And now this thing has been imparted. Just like a spirit is imparted. Lay hands on no man suddenly. This thing has been imparted in many men. And I have to deal with this thing. And I'm having to unravel and pull this thing that is intermingled into their hearts and their souls. Into their spirits. Brother, it was happening right under Brother George's pike. He was a great man of God. It was happening. I watched them pass this videotape around. Man, did you see that? Man, there was an angel behind Brother George. No, brethren, it was a VCR tape that they left under the light too long and it started melting. You sat there and watched the thing, but it was an angel of the Lord appearing. Brother, I don't need no sign of such. I don't need a photograph of something. I'm moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm moved by the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit vindicates God. Amen. And you'll know when a man's full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power without some goosebump, without some special dance, without some glow around his head. Those people were gathered together by that because they were blind like the Jews. And they had to be drawn together by the halo or by the cloud formations. I'm not against that. God moves that way. But we're in a different time. God moves by the Spirit. I don't need you to speak in tongues to vindicate you got the Holy Ghost. Because I met too many tongue talkers and the Spirit of the Lord said, this man ain't even saved. I've seen too many whoremongering tongue talkers. Speaking in tongues doesn't do nothing for me. I pray in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost builds up my innermost being, yes. So don't misunderstand me. But if you read right here in the scriptures again, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So the Lord God proveth you to see if you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. And ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in so that you put the evil away from the midst of thee. Brethren, we got to bring this into a present day truth or you're going to read this as some history book lesson. Brethren, I'm telling you what God brought us out of them other gods of this world. He brought us out of Egypt from the bondage of our intellect, bondage of our flesh, bondage of our will, bondage of our desire. He brought us out of that. And then we go serve those gods. You see, if you can't bring this out of the veil, brethren, you'll be deceived and lost on your way to hell. Let me go on just for a moment. It says, if thy brother, it's getting close here, ain't it? The son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. How many been in love with somebody so much, it's almost like you're one with them? Careful. Entice thee secretly again, privately. Brother, I tell you something, if it's from God, I know there's things a wise man concealeth the matter. But when they use that scripture to conceal their deceits and their arrogancies and their headships of being God, well, I tell you what, brethren, it is a devil. I'm so skilled at dealing with that spirit. I've watched it kill many, much greater than you'll ever find yourself to be, and much more wisdom and revelation. I tell you what, I got men that I know that eat me alive with the Bible. But it empowers them and strengthens them. But they do not know the operation of the Spirit. A man came to Brother William Branham and said, you don't know your word very well. And he goes, no, sir, I don't, but I know the author. Another man knew the word. He memorized the whole Bible. And Brother Pike made a statement. He said, I can't find the Spirit of God in him. Because he climbed up another way with intellect. Deceit, brethren. Let me go on just for a moment. I know I keep saying just for a moment. It's still early yet. Which is thine own soul entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Verse 7. Namely, of the gods of the people.
which are around about you. Let's bring it into a personal thing here. You know, some of you make these Hollywood sluts into gods. It don't matter how many drunk drivings they got. It don't matter how many times they've been married. It don't matter if they do the thing that God said he hates, walking down these runways with the mincing of feet. It don't matter. You made them into a god because they're their television and they look like Hollywood and you've created them and made them a god and you worship them by making yourself look like them. And you say that you're a child of God and you're deceived and walking in the blindness of men. You see, we need the fear of God in our lives. You need to know what to bring this into a present day truth and what's happening in our world. If the Antichrist can make the whole world follow after him, do you believe the word? He already has. The whole world is swallowed up by Antichrist. All of the religions are swallowed up by Antichrist. These denominations and churches that used to be powerful with great men of God have all sold out to doctrines of devils. And they ran from God. And they ran after other gods. Verse 7 again. Namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. I just had to deal with a devil the other day. A person I love. It tears me out of the frame to think I got to deal like this with somebody you love. A young man that I love. And I said, get your stuff together and get it packed up and get out of this church. I said, I don't ever want to see you sit in my congregation again. I'm sick of your devil. I'm sick of it. I said, pack your stuff up and go. I don't want to see you in my school no more. I don't even want you back in that school. You need to go. And I meant it, thus saith the Lord. Because I'm not going to watch a young man give place to a demon and a devil of his arrogancy and his haughtiness, of his educated mind, of his Bible study and his much learning, and walk in rebellion against God. If you got the Holy Ghost, young man or young woman, you're going to love your mother and father, and you're going to submit to your mother and father, and you're going to love them, and you're going to honor them, even when they're wrong, when you got the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something, when you get so puffed up in your little fleshly self, and you speak disrespectful to your mama, and you scream at your mama, you need a dad that'll knock your teeth down your throat. God would be more pleased with you being toothless than getting by with that foolishness. There may be a better way to do it. But I'm telling you, that would be more pleasing to God than to not do nothing about it. You said, you really asked him to leave the church? Oh, yes, I did, and I meant it with all my heart. But he has an option to let go of that God, to let go of that devil. The one that killed his father, the one that killed his grandfather, and the one that's deceived America. The one that has taken over every pulpit in the United States of America. When it said the ministers of Satan, they've transformed themselves into angels of light and angels of righteousness. Oh, praise God. We're the ones. Hallelujah. No, don't pay no attention to all them others. It's here. Brethren, I'll tell you what. Brethren, it is a little flock, small flock, and the righteous scarcely make it. So you need to beware and you need to be careful. Don't get into this mainline religion. It is sold out to the devil. You say, well, you think you're the only one, right? God have mercy, I hope not. Amen. I walk before the Lord with fear and trembling. Amen. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him. You feel sorry for people.
This devil I had to deal with the other day, you know, it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of problems going on in his home, you know, and mama's going through things, and daddy's going through things. And, you know, they said, don't pity that stinking devil. Put your finger in its face and say, come out of him, you unclean, foul devil. And that's the love of God, because you don't want to see that young man or that young woman die and go to hell. Every time that you yield to your lying son or your lying daughter, when they lie to you and look you in the eye and you just pat on them on the back, you are of your father the devil. You need to pull the rod of correction out and you need to beat that thing out of that child. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. When you allow a child to learn to lie, to have their way, and to make things easier for them, you are giving Godspeed to a devil. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Don't pity that spirit. Don't pity that child. It's a demon every time. I approve of this message. I love y'all. Brother Gabe, come up here and sit down in this chair up here a minute. So I'm getting ready to hand the baton. Are you ready? I said, man, I don't know if I can get up here behind this or not. Yeah, you can. I love Brother Gabe. And he's going to be real. You guys keep him in prayer, because when he goes home, he's going to be heartbroken when I keep his baby here with me. Can you hear mama squalling and squealing and dragging her out the door? But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. You see the commission of the Lord here? You should be the one to put him to death, not the preacher. But thou shalt surely kill him, and thine hand shall put first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord God. Brethren, let's get real in this spiritual warfare. Let's get real in this good fight of faith. Let's get real with being called a soldier for Christ. We got a soldier on the platform this morning, naturally, spiritually, likewise. You know, he could be over in boot camp or the trainings, all this stuff. But one day he may have to apply it. You know, I went through training, I crawled under the barbed wire, I went through the mud hole, I heard the shots going over my head, but when they're out there and they know somebody's pointing at your head, it's a little different. It's like I said, a guy flying an airplane with the hood on, he can't see nothing but the instrument, does pretty good. But he knows if he gets in trouble, he just reach up with his hand and pop that thing off. Okay, I can see now. But when you're in the weather and the clouds, you don't get that opportunity. When you're over there in the real battlefield, in the trenches, there ain't going to be some commanding officer blow the whistle and say, okay, stop now, let's analyze what we trained on here today. It ain't going to stop until somebody's blood's out, until somebody's dead. It's real, brethren. This is, you are a true soldier for Christ. You are in a spiritual warfare. You're fighting against principalities and powers and darkness that have caught themselves up into high places and lofty places in your mind, of your thoughts, and you're thinking too highly of yourself. You're thinking overconfidence. An overconfident pilot kills himself. An overconfident preacher kills people. You need confidence in one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Christ. Put no confidence in the flesh. None. Not in my flesh. I'm talking to me. I can't put confidence in my ability. I've done that. You know, when Paul made the statement, he said, the Pharisee of all Pharisees. You know, if you want to boast, you know, you want to be proud, I got more so the reason to. But he said all that was dung to him. Think of all the years of being in the house of God. All of the years of study. And then you see the one that he was under, this great high priest, and smite my Lord and God across the face, command and be smitten. You see what that can do to you? By being achieved up before the people, you become a God to them. Yeah, but Brother Rob, if you could come to this spiritual revelation. I've come to this spiritual revelation. That I cannot no longer live. And it has to be Christ. And when I see the admiration turn to me as a man, instead of to Christ and Christ alone, then I've got to warn you. And say, brethren, please,
because it'll kill you and destroy you. You think we've got this superior revelation to all these other people or churches or denominations, and the thing that you got a hold of is destroying you and killing you? I made a statement. I don't mean no disrespect to Little Bethlehem, brethren. But look at the great, powerful multitude of men that were there. Now it's just dwindled down just a little tiny handful. What happened to all them other great dreamers? The dreamers of dreams. What happened to all the ones that stood in the church? Oh, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, I got a word from God. What happened to them? They were exposed and fell into the darkness of their own deceit. Come on now. Too many of them, brethren. Too many of them. If thou shalt hear say in one of the cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Baal, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Saying, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the certain things certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly. And that is therein, the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt be burned with fire. Now I'm closing, Brother Gabe. Stand up now because we're getting closer. You know, I want you to be in action. Now I have to say to you. Now listen. You need to be careful what you just read. Because you're reading this thing and looking back into this other group of people, you know, these God's chosen people, this election of people. We need to look at us at ourselves. Now we recognize that this thing is taking place within our city, within our temple, within our life. We're the kingdom of God, brethren. Come on now. And we got to know that this mastermind of deception is trying to infiltrate us. He's trying to get the wall broke down. A man that can't control the spirit is like a city with a broken wall. I mean that wall's going to come down and these things are going to come into you. Brethren, you could look at me and you could look at the brother next to you. You could look at the guy across town. You could look at the house, but you need to be looking at yourself. Have I allowed this wall to come down? Have I allowed these other gods to come in? You see, as I say, when a man comes in that shows you Christ and shows you those things, but he's got these other things gathered around him. Those are those other gods that we can't worship. And that man needs to get them idols out of his house. He needs to get those things out. You see, how many gods do we have before him? What have we made God? Sometimes our intellect. Sometimes our will. Sometimes our own ministries.
Oh, the ministry of Brother Rob Coons. Oh, yeah.
That's a god. Get that thing tore down. We don't need no ministry of Brother Rob Coons. We need the ministry, the only ministry that there is, the ministry of my Lord, my God, and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the only way. He's the only one. He is the one and true God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's all about Jesus. And if anything that I do points you away from him, then you're looking at another God. It has to be him and him alone. And anything that you project should be Christ and Christ alone. If you're a written epistle, written known of all men, they should be reading the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God made known and manifested before them. And everything that they read points to Jesus and him alone. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you. Now, I'll take that mic. Thank you, brother. I love y'all. God bless you.
Testing 1, 2. How you guys doing? I don't know about you guys, but what I was thinking the entire time he was speaking is, how in the world do you tag team on top of something? I was trying to find a line of thought to connect with that maybe would work to go along with later, and I don't know. I have no idea what to do right now. Tell you what. You know, he was talking about idolatry, namely idolatry of your own self, right? Self-entitlement, believing that you're something that you're not, believing that you think you know something that you don't know, believing that you're worthy of something that you're not worthy of, believing that you're better than others around you. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, one of the most liberating things that you can come to in your spiritual walk is realizing that you are on an equal platform with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you are on an equal platform of justification, and that by grace, some people say, no, it's not just by grace. No, it's just by grace, and it's through faith. It's by grace, and it's through faith that you are justified. And now you stand before an infinitely holy, righteous God, and you can stand before Him. And not only just burn up because you are not worthy to stand before Him, but you can stand before Him and He will put His arms around you and love you because He has saved you and He's made you new. What in the world does that have to do with what He was saying? Well, I'm going to get to that. You look in Hebrews 6, where it talks about not laying again the foundation, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, not laying again the foundation. And I had always looked at that scripture as, okay, you know, we've got the basics, we understand. We understand that Christ has died on the cross, that He has justified us, and now that we are saved, we move forward. Let's not lay that foundation again, let's move forward into deeper things. I just found out recently that that's not at all what that means in the context. It's saying don't lay again that foundation, meaning that foundation has been laid. We have the foundation of understanding that Jesus Christ has come, that man stand before God guilty and wicked and evil, and that Christ has come and He has laid a foundation. And we are not to lay again that foundation, but we are to build upon that foundation. Amen. And something that I always need to do for myself, maybe you can't connect with this, but something that I need to do all the time is just preach the gospel again to myself. Because I tell you what, I'm that kind of guy that just forgets. I really do. And you know, I'm also that kind of guy that starts to get puffed up and I start to idolize my own thoughts and my way of thinking. And it kills me sometimes just to see the line of thinking that I can go through. But if you remember the simplistic principles of the doctrine of Christ and how you are, or how you have gotten to where you are now, it'll change you. Go over to Romans 3 really quick. Now, speaking about idolatry, I've kind of been there and I've learned some things. Tell you what, let me actually tell you a story. I just thought of this. Awesome. So, I guess about 5 months ago, I was a senior company line medic for an infantry company. Now, if that didn't make sense to you, that's fine. But I was a medic for a company of about 80 soldiers. And we were doing this training mission in southeast Georgia. And we were going through the woods, and we had been up for 72 hours and only eaten a few times and had only got a couple of hours of sleep. And we were just moving through the woods. And you know, you look on movies and Hollywood night vision looks really cool, you know, to see everything in green and everything glows. But after you've been looking through it for a couple hours, you start to hallucinate and your eyes hurt and you get a headache and it's obnoxious and you don't feel cool anymore. You just want to go home and just go to bed. But anyway, I digress a little bit. So we're doing this mission for a while and we had finally, the way we train is they'll set up an objective that we have to attack and then we'll attack the objective. There'll be people there that we, you know, fight against and they'll practice their tactics and everything. And then once we establish hold on an objective, we'll hold it for a while and then we'll have to defend it against a counterattack. And we had been the people who were defending, right, for this specific scenario, and we had been up for a long time. And I was walking around with the company commander, and there were soldiers laying all over the place on guard on the machine guns, you know, and they got the head bob going, you know, because that helmet's heavy, you know, and when you're real sleepy, it'll slam down, and they'll smack their gun, they'll wake up, but, you know, they just fallen asleep. And I just kind of jokingly said to my commander, I was like, man, these guys, they need a break, don't they? And he's like, no, this always happens when you're on defense. Everyone gets relaxed and they don't think anything's going to happen. They'll wake up when we get to the attack maneuvers, though. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I was thinking about that for life application later. How many of us are guilty in our Christian life of living on the defense? You know, we read the Bible, or maybe we don't read the Bible. Maybe we'll listen to it. Maybe we'll listen to a message, feel okay with ourselves. You know, and the only time we really bring up Christianity outside of the church environment is when someone else brings it up to us. And we usually find ourselves, at least I do, in the context of defending the Bible, defending your lifestyle, defending why you choose to believe in the God of the universe. And there's not a lot of attack going on anymore in the Christian church. It's just gatherings of people who get together and share common values and moral beliefs, but we don't actually take the words that we have here and take it out to the world. You know, Jesus didn't, I said this last time I was here, Jesus didn't give us a lot of commands when he left. He just didn't. He didn't give us a lot of strict commands, do this, do this, do this, don't do this. He didn't. A lot of it's implied from the things that he said to his disciples, the things that he preached. But he did command us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. That's a command. He also commanded us, if you guys remember last time, he commanded us to remember him when it comes to communion. But this is a direct command from our commander. And I got to tell you, I just don't do that. And I tell you what, it fails to be on the defense. When it comes to the Christian life, it fails. November 29th will be my 4-year, 6-month mark in the Army. I went to basic training, and I think I did good growing up all my life, being a separate and peculiar person. Maybe that was just because I was socially awkward, I don't know, but I pulled it off pretty well of coming out of the world. You know, I had the right clothes, I said the right things, went to the right church. I was just talking to Momert and Brother Chuck about this yesterday. But when I got to basic training, something happened to equalize me. And I realized real quick that I wasn't that peculiar looking, but I wasn't that peculiar. You know, when I'm standing there wearing a pair of shorts to right here for the first time in my life, I tell you what, Holiness Boy's legs are pretty white. And your head's all bald and you look like everybody else and you're exhausted. I realized real quick that as a Christian, man, I don't have a lot to offer these people because now I'm not peculiar. We've got to have substance, brothers and sisters. We've got to be equipped with the knowledge and the idea and the ideas that can put us on the offense. I finished basic training. I moved forward to Fort Sam Houston. Peer pressure is an amazing thing. No, I didn't do anything that I wouldn't want Pops or Momert to see me do. I didn't do that. But I was drifting a lot farther away from this than I had been before, making me realize that I really just didn't have, in retrospect, making me realize that I just didn't have a connection with this word right here that I needed to have. I'm not saying I wasn't saved. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I was pretty stinking shallow. So I move forward to Fort Riley. I get assigned to a small unit of a bunch of heathens. And guess what? Being peculiar is kind of hard. It really is. A lot of you guys don't know this, but for about 2 years, a little over 2 years, I smoked about a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. Got involved with alcohol a little bit. That wasn't fun. What happened? I grew up separate, peculiar. Grew up knowing that's wrong. What happened? What's going on? I'd get out of uniform. I'd wear the right clothes. What's going on? I'd get cornered. There were a couple guys that were powerful. They were really just smart, atheistic guys. And I got cornered this one day. Oh, you believe in Jesus? Like, yeah, you know, I do. Well, so you believe in Santa Claus too? You ever had to answer that question? I'm serious. You ever had to answer the question, if you believe in Jesus, and why don't you believe in Santa Claus? That's a hard question to answer when you're not in the Word every day. I'm talking about being on the defense, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about having an idea that you're something that you're not. I'm talking about idolizing your mentality, idolizing your education in the Word. It'll let you down. I moved on to Fort Benning from there. Absolute failure at Fort Riley as a Christian in the workplace. You guys ever heard of conversational evangelism? I wasn't doing that. You guys ever heard of relational evangelism? Relational evangelism, I'll help you out, is when you think to yourself, and a lot of us think this way, you know, let your light so shine before men. You know, it's kind of having that idea, well, I'll just be a Christian. And I'll let them see, you know, my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. Well, that works in context, but that doesn't work when you are not preaching and teaching the gospel. When you're just living a life and just being different, turns out, guys, out in the world, you just end up being a weird, socially awkward guy. It doesn't work. I failed at Fort Riley by the grace of God. Beautiful family of believers that I am closer to so many of them than some of my own family because of how wonderful and how loving they were to me. I got equipped with some things that I hadn't ever thought about before. I'm not saying that I wasn't capable of getting it here. I'm just saying that I actually was brought to a place to apply myself there. So fast forward a couple of years, I guess this last January, moving to Fort Benning, I decided, and Kate and I had talked about this, I decided, you know, I'm going to be a little more aggressive this time. I'm going to be a little more aggressive about being a Christian. I'm not going to be on the defense, but I'm going to let them know right off. And when I was first introduced to all the medics in this unit, you know, I got to stand up and introduce myself. Hey, I'm so-and-so. I've done this, this, and this, and I'm a devout Christian. My faith is very important to me. If you guys ever want to talk about it, I'm probably a little weird, but that's okay. Something like that makes a big difference. Now, I'm getting to my point here. I'm talking about starting in the offense, not the defense. Well, just through pressure at work and just over time, you know, getting bored, just not having opportunities, I did better. I did a lot better at Fort Benning. Or I'm still there at Fort Benning, but I did a lot better in this unit I was in. I'm in a new unit now, and I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. God has been wonderful to Kate and I. God has been wonderful in getting us connected with some examples of evangelism, some examples of how to apply this word in our life, whether it be through ministers on the internet or reading the Bible. God has just been phenomenal in helping us. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, today, now, living on the offense, it is pretty awesome. And I thought I was going to get a lot of trouble being in the military and being aggressive about my faith. But I'll let them go on and on and on about what they did on their Friday night when their wife wasn't around. And let them go into explicit detail. And I'll just sit there and listen. You know, what's funny is going into explicit detail about what you did on your Friday night at Bible study. Yeah, we dug into the book of John and we talked about this and we talked about faith and we talked about the wind bloweth where it listeth and how the Spirit of God chooses who He wants to save. And they're just sitting there like, all right, that's cool. Talking about getting on the offense, brothers and sisters. When you are on the offense, you don't idolize yourself. Amen. When you are on the offense and you are going into the world, whether that is your small little community, whether that is an entire Fort Benning post, whether that is an entire state, whatever it may be, when you go on the offense, you don't fall into the idolatrous mindset of thinking that you're something that you're not. It humbles you, brothers and sisters. And you know what? You don't fall asleep on the machine gun on guard either. When you are on the offense, you're digging in this word. You are being confronted by questions that you have no idea how to answer. Have you ever been looked in the eye and been asked, if God is such a good, loving God, then why do children die in Somalia of starvation? Why do my family members die of leukemia? Why is there cancer? Why is there sickness? Why are there poor people? How do you answer that? How do you answer that? How do you look into the face of pain of somebody who's feeling the freshness of their loss? How do you tell them that it was the sovereignty and the love of God that those things happen? How do you do that? If you don't know, you need to get in your word and you need to start figuring some stuff out. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, the 15th verse, it says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Do you know what that means? That means when you're confronted in the Word, when you are on the offense and you meet a strong defense about things in the Bible, you need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And there are times where I have drastically failed and I said, you know, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that because I haven't heard that before. But there are times you won't know and you'll get in this Word and you'll know next time. And it will strengthen your own faith. Brothers and sisters, we as believers, we have a command not to only come out of the world and be a separate people, but we have a command to love God. We have a command to be in this Word. We have a command to study ourselves, or to study the Word. And you study yourself too, that's a little weird, but we have a command to be in this Word and to study it, to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. Amen? We have a command to have an answer. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. That brings up some hard stuff sometimes. It really does. It brings up some hard questions that you have to look someone in the eye and face. You know, people don't like hearing that it is for the glory of God that some will perish for eternity, and that it is for the glory of God that some will go into everlasting life. Absolutely not on the merit of any man. So with that, what I'm going to do really quick is we're going to talk about the condition of man. Really quick, we're going to talk about evangelism really quick, and then I'm going to close it down because I don't have too much more to offer. It's not too late either. So go over to, I told you to go to Romans 3, but I lied to you. Go over to Romans 1. We're going to go over to The 18th verse. I want you to listen to this, but while you're listening to this, I want you to self-apply also. At least try to. If you can't, we got a problem. So check out what Paul has to say here in the book of Romans. Paul has, if you haven't read the book of Romans recently, go through it. It is one of the few books that is a continuous thought all the way through. And you see a lot of therefores, which is meaning he's going back to his previous thought and explaining a whole new segment. The book of Romans is really cool. I like it. But anyway, let's move on. For the wrath of God, we're in Romans 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up, second time, unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, third time, to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now check this out. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. That therefore at the beginning of chapter 2 is connecting the entirety of the thought from verse 18 to verse 32. It says here that men are without excuse because they know that there is a creator of the entire universe, and they can see that in the things, manifest in the things which are clearly made. Every single human being on this planet Earth has the general revelation that there is a creator. We see it in the Native Americans worshiping the creator. It's interesting, isn't it? They didn't have the Bible. They were worshiping the Creator. That's pretty cool. There's not a single man without an excuse. And it says here, check this out, it says that they suppress the knowledge. They know that there's a Creator, but they suppress that truth. So what does God do? God gives them up to go further into their sin. Right? And they move more and more in their sin, and they like it, and they try to forget, and they suppress the thought that there's a God, and God gives them up again, and they move further. And they enjoy their sin, and they like it, and they live in it, but they continually suppress that thought that there is a God. They don't bring it up in their own head, in their own philosophical thinking when they lay down at night. They try to push that thought aside and think about their sin, and God gives them up again. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, oh man. Brothers and sisters, this is all of humanity in chapter 1 here, knowing that there is a creator. So I say this, and I'm finishing up here. I say this, you need to know that when you are out there evangelizing to people. we look at people. I've known so many guys. Like, he's just a good guy. He's solid, moral, upright, loves his wife, has, you know, just a good guy. But if he is not a professing Christian, he is suppressing this truth. And he is not only outside of the family of God, but he is an enemy of God. And he is at risk of being turned over to his sin twofold and then threefold. I got asked one time if a homosexual could ever be a Christian. There's got to be a change. But if the description here in Romans 1 is describing a person that can be regenerated and born again, then there's no doubt in my mind that no matter what sin someone was involved with, God's mercy and power is more than enough to cover that wickedness. Brothers and sisters, don't you go out there in your life and think just because they're a good, decent, likable, moral human being that they don't need the gospel, because they do. What about the poor Amazonian villager that's never heard the name Jesus? He stands before God guilty because he knows. Well, that's not fair that if he can't ever hear the name Jesus, that he don't talk about fairness. Because what would be fair is for God to destroy this entire universe without a blink of an eye. What would be fair would God to give cancer and leukemia and starvation to all humanity? Because God said in the beginning, he said, you can have everything in this garden, including the tree of life. You can have all of this. You can bathe in my joy and my righteousness every single day. But that tree right there, just don't eat of it. Everything else is yours, but don't eat of that. And he said, in that same day that you eat of that tree, you shall die. What did man do? Curiosity killed the cat. He'd been on the fruit. And God in his love and his mercy not only did not kill them that day, but he let them live for another 900 years, and they bore children. And he said in Genesis 3 that a seed will come from you, Eve, that will crush the head of the serpent, talking about Jesus Christ. That's mercy right there, and he lets us live on. And he sent his son to be destroyed by humanity, the very humanity that he was coming to save. And still people like this in Romans 1 spit in his face every single day. So don't talk about fairness. Don't talk about what's merciful. It is merciful that any of us are breathing right now, brothers and sisters. With this breath, we got to run the race. The Bible tells us to set aside every single thing which so easily besets us. Beset means to entangle. We're running a race, brothers and sisters, and it's so easy to get entangled with stuff. If you're a Christian and you're living the life and you're asking yourself the question, is this wrong to do? Is this okay? You're asking the wrong question. You need to ask yourself, does this entangle me in this race that I am running to spread the gospel into the entire world, to teach, to preach, to baptize people? Does this entangle me to move forward in my sanctification, to become a better Christian, to love God more, to glorify God more, to love my wife more, to love my children more, to make the hard decisions that a Christian has to make, to separate from people or to love people, to push away the people that are good, okay, decent, moral people, and to embrace the wicked, filthy, pitiful person that wants to repent. Brothers and sisters, we do not need to be asking ourselves what's okay, what's acceptable, and what's good and what's not. We need to be asking ourselves, does this help us run? Brothers and sisters, I hope that was an okay tag team. I hope I sprinted pretty fast with the baton there. It felt a little heavy, but let's go ahead and stand and we'll sing together. And I'm all done. I have nothing else to say. I love you guys. While the musicians are coming up, he mentioned that we have a ministry going on at Fort Benning. That's true. Part of our offense at Fort Benning, part of our attack, has been to open up our home to single soldiers. Well, specifically focusing in on the single soldiers, because old Private First Class Griff was there at Fort Riley and understands the peer pressures and the problems that happen when you're alone in the barracks by yourself. So that's what we're doing is on Friday and Saturday nights, we're offering an alternative to the bars and the strip clubs for soldiers to come to our house and to hear the word. We've been going through the book of John. Man, I've been learning a lot just going through the book of John, just preparing some of the messages. But we're talking about how the book of John exists to show that Jesus Christ was God. An awesome, awesome study if you guys ever get the chance to do it. But that has been part of our offense. If you want to pray for us, that'd be great. We have, at our best show up, we had about 10 soldiers show up, and our house overran us pretty quick. And Domino's is really expensive when you have to get that much pizza. But it's part of what we're doing, whether it's just fellowshipping with the soldiers or not. Some of them are dealing with a lot of things, and some of them are just good, strong young men that I wish I could go back and be a little like them. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, but you need to have a burn in your heart, a desire. You need to have a heaviness in your soul for people who are lost. You need to be broken for that good, moral, stand-up, decent guy. We read there about the wickedness of men in Romans chapter 1. And that there's absolutely nothing. The only thing that God did for them was turn them over more into their sin so they could enjoy it for a short while. Which is a gracious way for God to handle someone who's in defiance of Him, is to turn them over to do what they want to do. But in Romans chapter 3, it says that all have turned aside. There's no one that seeks for God. There's no one who does good. No, not one. Brothers and sisters, that was you at some point before you were regenerated. It wasn't your choice. It wasn't your decision. It was the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Why? I don't know. For the glory of God. That's all I know. You were saved for the glory of God. So takeaway points from what I'm mumbling on about is, if you get in an attack stance and you move forward with teaching and preaching and spreading the gospel, it's going to help you out with getting away from that idolatrous spirit that Brother Rob was talking about. I don't know about you, I don't like getting yelled at by them. And you probably save yourself a little bit of grief if you just do the right thing. I don't know what song you're singing. I'm not going to sing. So you go for it, and I'm all done.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I can face tomorrow. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. He paid a debt did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
The altars are open, saints of God.
And now I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
I could never pay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? Amen. That was a pretty difficult task I gave my grandson this morning. Glad it was him, not me. Amen. I enjoyed that message. I enjoyed that word. Amen. It's one thing to hold the fort, like Brother Dave said, to be in defense, stand in a defensive mode and defend the ground. defense has got to be strong. But I do like a fence to take the land, to take the kingdom. Gates hell shall not prevail against us. That means we're kicking the gates down sometimes, brethren. It's easy to get in the flow of things. The wide, broad path to destruction is a nice, uniform flow. You're all just kind of going along, shouting, praising the Lord on the way to hell. Feeling good about themselves. Amen. But somewhere, we're going to stand. And when we've done all we can do to stand, we're going to continue to stand. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to do something this morning. Brother Gabe's never asked me for help with their ministry over there, what they're doing, but he did write me and ask me some questions and things. And I said, you know, you got to give the people the opportunity to support what you do. He wasn't taking up offer. I said, you need to give them a chance to give. They had needs of instruments and different things. I said, put the need out there and let them do that. Make them feel like they're a part of something. It's more blessed to give. People need to learn how to give. We got a given work here, a given church. They help and do things like that. How many would like to maybe share with them that it could help better some of these young men? Amen. You know what Brother shared, you know, raised up in this, around this stuff here, and all this doctrines and 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 depths and heights and widths and lengths and stuff. But you know, he never got set out there on his own before. You know, it's one day when your flight instructor steps out and says, take it. And you think, ooh, feel pretty good with him sitting right there, getting in trouble, man. He could get a hold of that control, but one day you take it. Well, I probably felt like he felt when Brother Pike sent me up here. You know, he said, Brother Rob, you don't think I would have sent you if I didn't think, you know, that you were ready or equipped. He said, what do you think all this training's been for? Well, I didn't feel ready. But then, you know, things started happening. I had to start applying some of the things that I'd heard. Well, it's easy to talk about what the man of God's doing and the fight that he's fighting and out there on the cutting edge, man, and boy, in the battlefield, just like a soldier could be sitting down here in boot camp. Oh, yeah, man, old General Eisenhower, boy, done this, and this general done that. Boy, they pursued, they took the land, they done this, and they slayed the enemy. Boy, but wait until you're out there on that battlefield, it's a little different. He shared a story with me. I think it was goats or pigs or something that they got to do some surgeries on or operations, you know, where it's really bleeding. That's okay too. But one day it's a fellow Conrad that you see the fear in his eyes. You say, you talk like experience. I pulled men dying out of airplanes before and automobiles and looked them in the eye. I've been holding the hand of several as they take their last breath, and I watch them struggle for it. Sometimes it's a little different when you see the fear grip their eyes and you see the fear of taking a step over. We could preach. I told a minister last night, I said, boy, don't you wish being a pastor was getting behind a pulpit, studying and getting a message and just preaching a message and teaching them, go about your duty, go golfing tomorrow, you know, fishing the next day, and, oh, we're going to study and get around. The smallest part of a pastoral service is getting behind the sacred desk, the smallest part. And you say, well, it's an important part, and I didn't say what. Every aspect is important. It's important the way you look when you walk out the door to go to Walmart, pastors.
Amen.
It's important the way you talk to people in the restaurant, ministers. It's important the way you act in everything you do. I'm not taking the importance of it away, but I said that's one of the smallest parts of what you have to do. Amen? People need taught and showed by example and led. They need loved, helped, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the work of God in your life. Amen? Let's take up an offering for this, brother. Is that all right with y'all?
Amen.
If you don't feel to help,
amen.
Don't. He's not going to be mad at you. He didn't come here for that. Amen. If you want to help, do it. Amen. I want to be partakers with what he does. Amen. He's got an opportunity, just like we were talking with the brethren in prison. They're still tuned in with us. They're reaching men I can't get to, brethren. And I'm trying to impart to them some understanding, some work, this message was very fitting for those men this morning, the previous and the latter, both of them. Amen. They need that. Overconfidence and arrogancy and pride is always going to crash you up. And it's good to crash. It's good to suffer. Amen. It's like I said, if this guy's a golden glove in boxing, I bet he got his nose busted a couple times on the way there. This man's a master at upholstery. But I'll guarantee he messed up some seats and some couches or something somewhere along that way. Had to rip them stitches out of it, fix it, or start over. That's called learning. You're going to fail, going to fall on your face, but you got a merciful God going to pick you back up. Oh, you're going to say some wrong things even. You might even give some bad counsel. Praise God for His grace and mercy. I don't want to give bad counsel to nobody, brother. But I see a lot of bad counsel that goes forth sometimes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
For He is Lord.
Can you allow Him to be your Lord and God? Some say that Jesus is my co-pilot. I wish you'd get out of the pilot seat of command and sit over on the right side yourself and let Him be the pilot in command. Amen. Let it be His ministry. Let it be His will. Let it be His mind. Amen. If there's any performance, let it be Him. And Him alone.
And He is Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He is Lord.
Praise Your holy name, Lord God.
And He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall
some of the ministers could gather up here with me, some of the elders, some of the brethren. Come up here and let's, come on, Brother Gable. Well, you guys going to stand there on the front row and just look pretty? Come up here, we're going to pray. Amen. Brother Morris is going to stand in for a brother and a friend, Brother Lyman Cox. I understand went to visit him yesterday, Craig. I know he's been going through some physical things. His son shared a couple things. And as he stands in, brethren, you know, for this brother, let's anoint him with oil. And let's pray a prayer of faith. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe in the Word of God. I believe in bringing the Word of God and applying it, fulfilling it. Bringing it into the application for the need right now. Amen. It's not going to do no good to talk about what other great men of God did back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We need to be showing them what God's doing today and now. Amen. He's still moving in the affairs of people. Still touching the afflicted. Still saving the lost. Still delivering people from the clutches of Satan. Amen. You know, the Bible word talks about a snare. Some of you know what a snare is. They may train even military guys today about snares. They used them in Vietnam. They'd have them tied back. Man, step into him, pull him up, and swing him right into spikes. Kill him. It's a snare, ain't it? The devil's got a snare for you. Oh, but I pray, and I'm religious. And I said, he got a big snare for you. Amen. I believe in prayer. Amen. But brethren, we have got to bring forth fruit. not talk about what fruit looks like, smells like, and tastes like. We got to bring it forth, something tangible, something edible, some people can eat. They need to be able to partake of the tree of life off of our branches, brethren. They need to be able to eat of this thing. They need to find sustainment, strength, and power. They need to find something nutritious that gives them hope and strength. Not something dry and parched and lifeless. Not something with this flamboyant enthusiasm with no substance. Amen. Not thunder and lightning with no rain. Bring that rain that sustains life. Amen. So me, brethren, let's anoint this, my brother. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Shile asata la matrasi otoro makishi tele masendre heke siri andri kasoto laria talia shata la masanda la masi. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that this brother's love for his friend, Lord God, that he would feel the compassion of your Spirit, Almighty God, and come forward into this church, Lord God, to ask these elders, these men, to lay hands on him, to fulfill the scriptures and the word, Lord God, as he stands proxy for Brother Cox. I rebuke whatever this element is that is coming against this, my brother. Father, in his elder years of suffering, Lord God, Father, we ask you to remove that affliction, Lord God. We ask you to restore strength, Almighty God. Father, help him and strengthen him. Father, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God, that there is, yes, a number of days on this earth, Lord God, and that, Father, I thank you for his labors, his endurances, Lord God, his servitude towards you. Father, honor him over in this sunset of time, Lord God, in his life. Honor him, Lord God. Father, as you honored Brother Beachy, Brother Atlee, Lord God, as he, Father, made a crossing, Father, with a smile of endurance and strength and wisdom and praise and testimony towards God. Father, be with Brother Cox in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. And Father, utilize this time of his life for your praise, for your glory, for your honor, Lord God, that others could take hope and see Christ manifested. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you in Jesus' name. I love you, man. Amen. Praise you. I think about when Sister Vicky Gonzalez came into the altars when we prayed for her mom and dad. And I said, Mom and Dad don't need prayer. I said, you need prayer. Amen. All tore up about Mama and Dad, you know, up here in the sunset, we might say, of their life, of this temporal life, amen, ready to step into the rewards, man, of all the heavenly treasures have been stored up. Man, it's a glorious time, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. We have no fear of death, saints of God. Oh, come on, brother. You shouldn't have any fear of death. Perfect love casteth out fear, man. And the thing is, brother, and if you find, you know, this life's, like I said the other night, it's a vapor and a mist. You know, you go out in a cold morning and you go, and you watch that vapor. Watch it. Keep watching it. Oh, man, it's gone. That's your life. Quicker than a weaver's shuttle. It's pretty fast if you ever watch one. And somebody get master that old thing, how fast they can push that thing through there. Blows your mind. All by manpower, not machine. Fast. Amen? Like a flower. Come up, boy. I think of some of the gardeners, some of the ladies, they plant them flowers and I think of all the toiling around and getting the weeds and all that work and stuff. And boy, look at that beautiful rose. Look at that beautiful flower. Boy, and they smile at it. When you're driving by, you'd never see it, you know, being an old man, you know, that's just, you know, look at that flower over there. That came from Grandma such and such's garden. And look at how beautiful that is. You know, praise God for that. But then all of a sudden it fadeth away and it's gone. And it's gone. That's man's life. Brother, don't put no trust and hope in your health and your strength and your longevity. Put it in Christ and him alone. Amen. Then you've stepped into eternal life. Not temporal life, eternal life. Amen. Because you've passed from death unto real life. Amen. And the thing is if, you know, if God takes you out as a martyr for his name's sake in your 20s, whatever, praise be to God. Man, at least there's something recorded that your life had a value for somebody or something. Amen. I hope that in my affliction or in my suffering, or somebody see that God knocked me down on my backside, but then yet showed me enough mercy that I could climb back up, that somebody could observe that and say, there's hope for me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. I just want to be something to help somebody else get a footing and a strong place that they could press. And like Brother Gabe said, they could be offensive. Let's don't just sit around and hold the shield up, distinguishing the fiery darts. Man, let's start shooting back. Amen. Let's start taking the land. Amen. Tell somebody about Jesus. They had a thing I said through the teaching of what he spoke similar of it, called lifestyle evangelism. Let's just live the life of Christ before them. Well, let me tell you, that message needs to be preached to these ones that are preaching. Say, why don't you live what you're preaching? So lifestyle evangelism is living the way you preach. When you just think you dress better than everybody else and you judge everybody by the way you dress according to what you call holiness, then you're just self-righteous and you're in trouble. Them in their stripped off state got more God than you got. Amen. But if you're going to walk and dress holiness, you're going to live holiness, and you're going to love people holiness. And you're going to do nothing, but there's going to be holiness emanating from you in your conversation, in your love for them. And holiness loves the sodomite, the perverts, the drunkards. Your holiness is going to take and embrace them and share the love of holiness and the love of God with them. Amen. But when your religion has got you so polished up that you couldn't touch or walk with that, your religion's in vain and you're a stench in the nostrils of God. Amen. Get on the offense. I see Miss Ashley here. Oh, and Mama. Hey, praise God. Maybe we just have another altar service. Maybe some more show up. Amen. It's good to see you, sisters. Amen. You love the Lord? Did we take up an offering yet? You did. Was it enough? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Give Brother Gabe a hand for bringing the word. Today he was thrown right in the battlefield. Man, it's like jumping a nice, cozy airplane, flying along, talking with fellow comrades, and all of a sudden he's kicked out the door by the jump master. And here he is right in the midst of the preacher hands him a microphone. Done well. That's good. Yeah. I like that. Might be learning something. I might have just learned something here today, how to do this. Amen. Do you like it, Brother Ed? Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate him yielding to the Lord and bringing the word. I done some things with other brethren here that, and one night Brother Lambert was in a maiden boy, and I was some strong preaching, and I just handed him a mic, and he looked like a deer in the headlights, man. I'm like, my God, what am I doing this? And all of a sudden, man, that anointed jumped off that mic. It's in the mic, I tell you. It jumped on him, man, and all of a sudden, I think, whoa, I'm getting out of the way here. Y'all love of the Lord. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for standing for Brother Lyman, Brother Morris. Thank you for that. Amen. Let's close in prayer, brethren, and bow your heads with me. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this time this morning, Lord. I thank you for your spirit, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you could take and orchestrate your will, your thoughts, your mind, your wishes, Father, through man. If man could just yield his members and his mind, thoughts, and tongue to you. Father, help us to be better. Help us to do more so. Father, let each and every brother and sister that heard word this morning, Father, take and not just take it and hear it, but not let it slip at any time, Lord, that they could take this word and apply it. And as Brother Gabe said, be offensive. Take it on offense and go forth. Father, that we could be and bring these things that we think we have and bring them to somebody and give them, for they can then become a substance to somebody else. Something that helps change lives, save souls, Lord God. Father, we pray over this finances, knowing, Lord God, it would never be enough to meet the need, but knowing that you could add an increase to it, Lord God, and let us be in this little church partakers with what you're doing at Fort Benning, Lord God. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you continue to grant this brother wisdom and understanding, Father, with the many tough questions that come, Father, that there will be an answer from the unction of the Holy Ghost, not from the books or the studies of theology, but from the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that brings answers with strength and life, Father. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for his companion to work with him and submit to him and walk with him. Father, protect this family, these babies, Lord God. Keep your hand upon them, Father. Don't let them get touched or tainted by the world, Lord God. Keep a hedge of protection around about them that they can be utilized for your glory, your honor, and your praise. We love you with all praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.